the stream.
All right. Good evening, everybody. This is the open special Pacifica National Board meeting of Thursday, July 18th, 2019. Bill Crozier, our secretary, will please call the roll.
Okay, Grace Aaron, listener representative, KPFK.
Here.
Grace is here. Gary Bost, affiliate representative, Cerebral Radio.
Gary's here.
Gary is here. Thank you. Robin Collier, affiliate representative, KCEI.
Present.
Robin's here. Chris Corey, listener representative, KPFA.
Here.
Chris is here. Bill Crozier, listener representative, KPFT. I'm here. Donald Goldmacher, listener representative, KPFA.
Present.
Donald's here. Jan Goodman, listener representative, KPFK.
Piasco, excuse absent, Mansour.
Oh, okay. And sorry, James is calling in again. He's having trouble getting in. So, Sabrina Jacobs, staff representative, KPFA.
I'll call James. It's Otis.
Oh, okay, thank you. Sabrina, was that you? I could barely hear you.
Yeah, that was me. Hi, I'm here.
Okay. So Sabrina's here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wally James, staff representative, KPFT. Please, it'd be a little late. Dwayne Lark, listener representative, KPFT. Can't hear you, Dwayne. Adrienne LaViolette, listener representative, KPFT.
Here.
She is. Okay. Thank you. Ron Pinchback, staff representative, WPFW.
Here.
Ron is here. Thank you. Ralph Pointer, listener representative, WBAI. Can't hear you, Ralph. Lawrence Reyes, listener representative, KPFK.
Present.
Okay, Lawrence is here. Sean Rhodes, staff representative, WBAI.
Here.
Sean is here. Eileen Rosen, listener representative, WPFW.
Here.
Eileen's here. Mansour Sabah, listener representative, KPFK.
Hazir.
Mansour is here. James Egerton, listener representative, WBAI. He was having trouble getting his access code to work. Nancy Sorden, listener representative, WPFW. Andrea Nancy, I think she was having trouble too. Alex Steinberg, listener representative, WBAI.
Present.
Alex is here. Tom Voorhees, listener representative, KPFA. Andrea Tom. John Tatum, our parliamentarian.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here.
Okay, John's here. Thank you. Tamara Swiderski, our interim CFO.
She's not going to be attending tonight.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me go back.
Excuse me, Bill. I got a text from Nancy saying that her new PIN is not recognized.
Let Otis know, and maybe he can help her.
How can I do that? Do I have to?
Otis, are you on? Can you help Nancy Sorden get on? Her new PIN is not working.
Yes, I was working on that, okay, James.
Okay, thank you.
So James, right. Let's see, James didn't hear. Well, let me just go back through. I didn't hear Wally James or Dwayne Lark or Ralph Pointer or James Sagerton, Wally James or James Sagerton or Nancy Sorden or Tom Voorhees. Are any of you here?
I think Tom said he wouldn't be able to attend.
That's what I was thinking. Let her forget. Okay, let me count to see, make sure we have quorum.
Definitely have quorum.
14 directors present. Yes, so we have quorum.
Yes. Okay.
And hopefully others will come on soon.
All right. To my knowledge, Jan Goodman emailed to say that she'll be late, so we should excuse her. Tom Voorhees asked for an excused absence. Adrienne LaViolette asked for an excused absence, but I believe she's on the call. And
yes.
Then last week, Ralph Pointer emailed that he was going to be on a cruise, so he asked for an excused absence for a couple of meetings, which would include this one. So are there any other excused absences? We're trying to get Nancy Sorden and James Sagerton on the line, so we won't consider them excused. Are there any other requests for excused absences? Hearing none, is there a motion? I would entertain a motion to excuse those absences. Would anyone like to put forward that motion?
Robin will move to excuse the absences.
Okay, is there a second?
Bill.
Okay. Is there any objection to excusing the requested people who requested excuses for their absences?
That was Jan, Tom, and Ralph.
Jan, Tom, and Ralph, yes. Okay, hearing none, those absences are excused. Now, the next thing is to identify timekeepers. Adrienne doesn't feel up to it tonight, so can anyone volunteer to keep the time for individuals of 90 seconds? All right, let me see if I can get a volunteer. Sean, would you be willing to do that?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, how about Chris Corey? Would you be willing to? Chris, are you on the line? I see you. Okay, we'll check somebody else. What about Nancy Sorden? Would you be willing to keep time for individuals?
Is she on the call already?
I think Nancy may not be on the call. Eileen, would you be willing to keep time for individuals?
I'd really rather not, but I'll do it if nobody else does. But I hope somebody else will.
Okay. How about Robin? Are you willing to do it?
I could do the agenda links, but not the individual times. I don't have any way to do all the digging and everything. So.
Okay. How about Donald Goldmacher? Would you be willing to keep time for individuals?
No, I would love to volunteer. My brain capacity is not up to it.
Okay. How about we've got to get somebody. I can't do it. It's not feasible.
Grace, I'll do it. It's Adrienne. This is just too sad. Let me do it.
I know, but Adrienne, let me mention to everybody that Adrienne had a little accident, a scratch of her cornea today. She's not feeling well. Can somebody please volunteer to keep the time for individuals so she can rest her eye? What about Sabrina? Are you willing to keep time for individuals? Has everyone disappeared?
Grace, I got it. I got it. Let me just do it. It's okay.
Okay. All right.
Oh my God.
Thank you for being
okay,
here. For
okay. Grace?
Yes.
Hello?
Sabrina?
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, no problem. I was muted for some reason.
Okay. All righty. So Sabrina will do it. Adrienne.
Which one am I doing, though?
You're doing the individuals. So if you can possibly do it, it's been working very well. You can just take a knife and a glass and give one ding like that for 60 seconds, two like that for 80 seconds, and three at 90 seconds when time is up.
Okay.
Kind of some sort of noisemaker. Okay.
Noisemaker.
So we have it. Okay. So next thing on the agenda is agenda approval, which is 5 minutes. I would entertain a motion for the approval of the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda, Sabrina.
Okay. Is there a second?
Robin will second.
Thank you, Robin. All right. So we have 5 minutes, Robin, for this agenda item. Are there any additions, corrections, deletions being proposed, anyone wishes to propose for this agenda?
This is Sean.
Sean, go ahead.
This tentative agenda says time certain, 9:30 to adjourn. It's already 2 minutes after 9, and there's an item on here for 60 minutes, so clearly we're not going to make 9:30 adjournment.
Okay. Bill, have two items on the agenda.
Well,
are there
the 60 minutes is sort of a max for that.
Okay.
You could change the time. It just means we'll have less time for executive session, or else we'll have to go past midnight if it goes on a long time.
Okay, what would you like to propose,
the body.
Sean? Yeah, what would you like to propose?
I had no preference one way or the other. I just wanted to point that out to folks and ask the body how to proceed.
All right. Would anyone like to adjust the time? We could adjust the time of agenda item 6, committee reports and motions. It's got now 60 minutes total. Drop that down to 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or we could change the adjournment time to 10 p.m. if somebody wishes to do that. Anyone like to make a suggestion, a motion?
Okay, I'll make that motion. Change it to 10 p.m.
To extend to 10?
Yes.
Right. Is there a second? Someone like to second that?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So is there any objection to extending time for this open session agenda until 10 p.m.? All right. Hearing no objection, we'll move on to the next item. Next item is a report out from the executive session of July 11, 2019. Pacifica National Board met to discuss and deal with sensitive personnel and legal issues. The next item on the agenda is approval of minutes, and we have 5 minutes for that, Robin. And we have the open session minutes for May 23, 2019. Are there any corrections to that set of minutes? Okay, hearing no corrections, that set of minutes is adopted. Next thing is the IED report, and that's me, so moment. I am going to look in my email and the first thing is I have a public statement that I sent out to the PNB. The public statement is Executive Director Transition. Maxie Jackson III resigned from the position of Pacifica Executive Director effective July 5, 2019. The Foundation wishes him the very best in his future endeavors. Pacifica Foundation is in the process of hiring a highly qualified radio, television, and multimedia professional to hold the interim position of executive director. More information will be forthcoming. A formal search for permanent executive director is already in progress. Per California law, the board chair automatically assumes the position of temporary executive director if no other executive director has been engaged. Therefore, please direct pertinent correspondence to me, as I will be acting in the capacity of temporary executive director. In peace, Grace Aaron, et cetera. Okay, the next thing is I'd like to say that we are making very good progress on our audits, both the 2018 audit and the pension plan audits. The pension plan, all the monies that were supposed to have been paid into the pension plan have been paid in, except for about $15,000 owed by KPFK, which will be forthcoming in a few weeks. And then the pension plans will be made whole. Other problems with the pension plans, to my knowledge, have all been resolved. Are having a severe cash flow problem, so I feel personally that our top priority at this moment should be improving short-term revenue, just increasing our cash flow so that we can continue in business problems. Now, we did receive a bequest recently of $583,500. And the way that is going to be dispersed is as follows, and this is Tamara Swiderski, our interim CFO, and myself went through the priorities for the foundation for the national office, and we decided on dispersal of these funds, and this is how it's going to be. They're going to be dispersed. $200,000 is going to be put toward the interest on the $3.2 million loan. $100,000 is going to be put toward paying down the principal of that loan. $20,000 is going to be used for election expenses. $50,000 is going to be given to for NETA expenses that we're in arrears on. $22,000 is going to American Arbitration, $20,000 to Fisher & Phillips, a law firm, $40,000 to Garvey Schubert Bearer, another law firm, $20,000.
Could you slow down, please? It's too fast.
Okay.
Start from the beginning, please. Thank you.
All right. $200,000 going to the interest on the $3.2 million loan. $100,000 going toward the principal of that loan. $20,000 is going for election expenses. $50,000 is going to NETA expenses. $22,000 is going to American Arbitration. $20,000 to Fisher and Phillips. Those are two basic ones, an arbitration concern, and the other is a law firm. $40,000 to Garvey Schubert Bearer. That is another law firm. $17,000 for a severance payment, $11,500 for pension funding, $50,000 to replenish an endowment, $50,000 will be held in our operating account for future use. That's how the $583,500 bequest is going to be used. And that's all. We'll take some Q&A. The time for this agenda item is 15 minutes, and we're probably into it for about 5 minutes.
What is the $20,000 for? Third to the last item, $20,000. Thank you.
That's for employee payment. Okay.
Wally James is joining in.
Thank you, Wally. Bill, please mark Wally as being present. Before we go on, do we have Nancy and James Sagerton on the call?
And Nancy's here.
Good. And what about James? Okay. Otis, if you're listening, please try and get James Sagerton on if you can. All right. Any other questions about the from Executive Director report?
Yes, I have a question, Lawrence.
Ron
Finsberg has a question.
Alex, I have a question.
Okay. First, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. So I have two questions. I guess I really don't know where this money came from. Is there any reason why that wasn't told to us? And the second question is, why hasn't the directors chime in to the disbursement of these funds and a vote? Or are we taking a vote on these funds as they will disperse? Thank you.
Okay. I can make every attempt to find out the origination of this bequest. It's been in the pipeline for quite some time. It comes from the WBAI signal area. I don't know the specific source of the bequest, but I can find out and send it to the board. From CFO and executive director have the duty to disperse funds. So I'm just reporting the dispersal, but if you wish to, some of it has already been dispersed. So if you wish to vote on it or suggest changes, that would be possible. But let's go on to any other questions. Alex?
Excuse me, this is James. I just want to let you know I'm on the call finally.
Yes,
my question is, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with this disperso. I just want to know what the thinking was between dispersing 200K toward the payment of the interest and 100K toward the payment of the principal. One could make a case that maybe it should be the other way around. I'm not quite sure about this. Could you give us some insight as to what thinking went into this?
You know, that portion of it has not been dispersed, but there's been quite a bit of as I mentioned earlier, we're having quite a cash flow problem. WBAI has not made very many central service payments in the last year, and WPFW is a little bit better, but it's also behind. So it's felt that Tamara and I felt that easing the burden on the stations of making these interest payments might be the right direction to go rather than paying down the loan principal. However, if you wish to propose something, and we will, as these funds have not been dispersed yet, we will take it into consideration, and we will follow the directives of the board.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Bill Fisdak.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, daily, almost daily, certainly more than weekly, you know, there's always decisions made about which bills do you pay first and things like that, because we've been so cash short. Somebody's rustling papers, by the way. We've been so cash short that, you know, a lot of these things, and I'm glad you've been able to pay some of them, have been on the books for some time. And so, you know, we need to give the IED and the CFO flexibility on how to pay the bills and stuff. I mean, I think Alex had a good point, though. I'm not sure necessarily how to distribute that between the loan principal and interest, but I think the right thing, I think you're doing the right thing, is putting a really large portion of it towards the loan, whether it's interest or principal, and you know, we can still work out those details later. Thank you.
Okay, Nancy, I will take it upon myself. Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
Just on the same vein. I think it's great that, you allocated this money to the loan interest. And I was wondering two things. Is the money from the affiliates still going towards the first payment, or can we pay them back out of this? And number two, is the $200,000 going into a similar type account that we had the money from the loan going into? It was set aside into it's not exactly an interest bearing, but it was like a money market or something like that that earned interest until we, you know, until we use those funds. So if it's a restricted fund, maybe we could have it earning interest until we use it.
Thank you for those questions, Nancy. Good questions. First of all, the affiliate network generously donated $20,000 toward the interest on the loan, the interest payments. And the national office borrowed $30,000 from the affiliate network, that $20,000 and another $10,000 in order to meet payroll. So that $10,000, but that was a short-term proposition, just a few days. The $10,000 has been put toward the, or is going to be put toward the loan interest payments. The $10,000 has been sent back to the affiliate account. And yes, we are putting the plan $200,000 into exactly the account that the funds had been in up till this point, that are in.
Oh, great. Account. The same actual account.
The same account, yes. It's a reserve account. It will get interest. Part of the thinking on paying $100,000 toward the loan principal is that we will be looked on more favorably because we're making an effort to pay down the principal. However, if we should have a cash shortage in the future, I think it's best to make sure that we make all payments on time, which is why $200,000 is earmarked for the loan interest so that we don't fall short. We would still, until the, I believe the loan runs until the spring of 2021. And besides this $200,000 that we're earmarking for loan interest, there will be another $200,000 needed for interest on that loan. But because the $200,000 will be in that loan interest account, should we decide to pay down the principal with that money, we can do that. But right now, our feeling to Tamara and myself is that a $100,000 pay down of the principal is adequate at this time.
You just have a minute
All
left
right.
on this section.
Thanks. I'll go back on the stack with my other question.
Okay. Anyone else for the stack within a minute?
You just have a minute left.
Oh, okay. Nancy, quickly, and then we have to go on with the agenda.
I'm sorry, I forgot the question. I'll have to.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, we're out of time for this agenda item. Does anyone want to extend time?
I move to extend, Nancy, for 10 minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Jeez.
I second. Lawrence.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending this agenda item for 10 minutes? Okay. Hearing no objection, it'll be extended for 10 minutes. Nancy?
Okay. Thank you. There was another bequest that was described in the open meeting of the Finance Committee last week, and it was said that that was also going to be sent to National Office. I'm not sure if that's still true or not. Can you comment on that?
No. There was a bequest of 200 and some odd thousand to WBAI, and a bulk of that was going to be sent by WBAI to the National Office to pay some of their arrears.
Okay. And so then what will be, how will that money go, be dispersed, the arrears for their services?
Yeah, believe me, it's been eaten up pretty much by ongoing expenses such as health care. and other expenses. I don't have the accounting for that specifically, but I can get that for you, or it should be perhaps Chris Corey. Do you have that information? Chris?
I don't have that information, actually.
Okay, I'll ask the interim CFO for that information and have it sent to the board. I think the next person was Gary. Were you on the stack? I heard your voice.
No, I don't think it was me.
Okay, who was it who would like to ask a question?
I think maybe it was Donald.
Donald? Was it you, Donald?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I have one more. If no one else does, I have one more. If no one else does.
Okay. Go ahead, Nancy.
You were visiting the East Coast this week. I wonder if you could give a report on your visit.
Oh yeah. That was a trip that my husband and I planned, had nothing to do with Pacifica, per se. We were visiting...
Point of order. This is out of order.
Okay, no, my trip to... I visited WBAI and WPFW, and this is an AED report.
It's
appropriate. I'm just explaining that it wasn't billed to Pacifica, the trip. It wasn't planned beforehand as a Pacifica excursion. I did visit, spend a few days at WBAI, and it was a very pleasant trip. I had very good conversations with Berthold, the general manager, with Linda Perry, the interim program director, and with Andrea Katz, the development director. I think it's a station that has a lot of very high quality volunteers, does excellent work utilizing volunteers. Station's very clean, in a good location. It's very tiny. They're building a new studio, so that will be ready soon, which will be a big improvement in their broadcasting. And I helped negotiate a lease, so we're going to be working on that. It has to be reviewed by a New York real estate attorney, and then we'll finalize the lease for that space. And then I went down to D.C., and that was a wonderful trip. They have beautiful quarters, and it's a very well-functioning staff there, very good station, with a lot of ties to the community. I was impressed by the fact that they do a lot of local news programming and very, very close ties with a lot of people in the community. So I was impressed by that station. I realized going there that the East Coast stations, WPFW, for instance, pays $15,000 a month rent and $5,000 a month in tower rent fees. So that's their expenses are right from the get-go, in rent alone, $20,000 a month, which is quite a burden. WBAI has a burden of $6,500 a month rent for their quarters and $17,000 a month for their tower rent to have their transmitter located in a location where there will be decent reception in the greater New York area. So they are burdened with about $23,000 a month expenses before payroll, before anything else. The West Coast stations and Houston, luckily, do not have that high an overhead. So it's difficult for those stations. We really need, in my opinion, as a foundation, to rebuild those stations because we are a family, we are a network, and we're much stronger as a network working together than as individual entities. That's totally my opinion, but I will place it in my short tenure as IED as a top priority to do all I can to support all of our stations, but in particular to focus on the East Coast stations because they are so important. And they have such good-hearted, wonderful staff, in my opinion. Okay? Any other questions?
Thank you.
Comment, Ron Pinchback.
Oh, okay, Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Rivet is my largest to this fact.
Okay,
I just wanted to say thank you for the assessment, you know, of the East Coast patients. Appreciate the open-mindedness, and that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Lawrence?
Yes, so it's two things. I happen to be in Washington, D.C. at the same time that the other C meeting was meeting. And I must say that it was a very civilized meeting and a lot of civility there, and I appreciate the visit. So the other thing is that I'm getting emails from our listeners that they can't find the stream. So I don't know if Otis is still on, but I just want to let you know.
Hey, Otis, can you adjust that? Is there any... Well, Otis, if you can hear me.
Yeah, I went to the webpage and checked the stream, and it's there. So I don't know where they're going.
Okay, thank you.
We're on PNB2, which is a little different. If people are tuned into PNB1, they may not hear it. So I'll check again.
Thank you very much, Otis. We appreciate you. Okay, any other questions? I think we're about out of time. Oh, one other quick comment as in the report, and that is the election is going very well. We have a lot of candidates on all the signal areas, including a number, quite a number of candidates have registered in the WPFW election. So hopefully they will all qualify because the nomination period was extended for WPFW, and now the qualification period is ongoing and will be concluded in a day or two. So,
Chair, one question in regards to that?
Yeah, just let me finish my sentence. So there will most likely be both a listener and staff election at WPFW. Okay, Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, due to the short notice of these candidate forms, is the NES going to also schedule the people that weren't able to make it tonight?
I checked. You know, I took seriously your complaint, Lawrence, and I checked with the National Election Supervisor and with other candidates for the forum, and all the candidates were given several notifications of the candidate forum. So I don't know what the hang-up was, but if needed, I can have those past emails that were sent to all the candidates reviewed. Anyway, I don't know anything about that at anyway, so if you want, you can send a question to the National Election Supervisor.
We're about out of time. Because I never received an email. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You know, I don't know. I can...
to the last minute.
Ask what happened send an email to the National Election Supervisor asking about that, and please copy me on it, all right? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're out of time, so now we're going to go on to committee reports and motions. Bill, we have a motion on underwriting. And we have a motion on consistent union agreements. Do we have any other committee reports?
Well, the second one was not a committee report, but the underwriting one came from the Strategic Planning Committee. So,
okay,
Alex, maybe you want to read that.
At this time, Donald, I just simply did not have time to put forward Carol Travis's motion. Is that appropriate for open session? I believe you reviewed it.
Which motion are we talking about?
The pension motion? Yes.
Yes, it was sent to me, and yes, I did read it.
Okay. Is it appropriate for open session? I believe that was your intention.
Hold on, let me quickly think about it. Yeah, I don't think there was anything there that jumped out of me that would make it inappropriate. And I'll look at it in a moment.
I don't think it's inappropriate. Can you possibly forward that motion to the PNB at this time, and this is how we're going to deal with this. At the tail end of dealing with this motion on underwriting, we will call Carol Travis, and she can motivate that motion. It is from the Pension Plan Administration Committee, which I'm part of. Carol Travis is still part of that committee dealing with our pension plans, because that's a committee that is not dependent upon being a PNB director. So she's been doing a lot of work on that, and I will invite her to motivate her motion, which is it's very time sensitive, so it should be dealt with tonight. But meanwhile, so Donald, please forward that motion to the PNB, and we'll go on to the motion on underwriting, and when that's finished, we'll get Carol Travis on the call.
This is Robin. I want to point out we have only 30 minutes for all the motions before it go to time certain for executive session.
Okay. All right. Let's do what we can. Alex, would you like to put forward the motion on underwriting? Strategic Planning Committee? Alex?
I have a point of order on that, Grace. I thought that was supposed to be an executive session.
Okay. Let's quietly read this over. All right. Would you like to, because you feel that the discussion on it would be sensitive?
Well, the previous, if I recall, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, the motion was originally passed in an executive session. Was it not?
In the Strategic Planning Committee?
I don't mean Pat. Well, we discussed it in an executive session, Strategic Planning Committee. Now, when we brought it forward last week on the whenever the last meeting was it an executive session or open session? I cannot recall.
Bill, can you weigh in on this,
yeah,
please?
I believe it was in an executive session, but and then there were discussions about legal issues. That's why it was an executive session, but I think the motion's fine for open session, the way it's written. Maybe
Robin,
not the original motion, but the one that was approved by the committee.
Robin, for the
okay.
Okay. Launch to the statute.
Hold on a moment. I want to go back to Alex. Do you want to make a motion to move it to executive session for some reason?
Yes, only because the discussion around the motion might get into issues, personnel and legal issues that are of a sensitive nature. The motion itself is fine, but I don't think we can have a proper discussion of it in open session.
Okay. That's a good point. Would anyone like to second Alex's motion?
Robin will second that.
Okay, very good. We are short on time, so let's quickly have just one more. One against and one in favor, and then we'll go to a vote. That's
this is Lawrence. I'm against.
To refer. Pardon me, Lawrence. Okay.
Yeah, I'm against.
You have the floor. You have the floor, Lawrence. Can you explain why?
Thank you. I respectfully disagree that this should go into executive session. I think this is a motion that affects all the listeners, those who may be not okay with underwriting. And they need to know, they need to be informed as to what the PNB is doing in regard to that. I believe what we're doing is to develop a policy. If we could discuss those things that Alex and both Bill said that are appropriate for open session in regards to underwriting, then I would support that. But I'm not in support of Alex's motion to take it into executive session.
Okay. Is there anyone in favor of referring this to
executive
session?
Bill, I understand there might be some issues that people might want to talk about executive session, but I just move to postpone this until the next open session, if we can unless it's really urgent. And if people want to talk about it in executive session, they can. But I think this should be voted on in open session.
Okay. That's a substitute motion to Alex's motion to refer?
No, it's a motion to postpone consideration of it till the next open session.
Okay. Well, that substitute. We can't have two motions that are... It's an amendment, basically, or a substitute motion. We can't do both. We can't refer it. Do you want to refer it?
Oh, I see. Well, okay. My motion's probably out of order right now because you already have a motion on the floor to refer to executive session. So we have to deal with that first.
Okay.
Parliamentarian for the staff.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Okay. At this point, we have to look and see which motion has highest authority between the motion to refer something and the motion to postpone
something. Mr. Tatum, I can hardly hear you, and
okay,
you're a little bit garbled. Can you get closer to the...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, good. What I was saying is that we have to consider which of these motions has the highest precedence between referred to a committee, referred to executive session, which is referred, a motion to refer, and the motion to postpone. And I'm going to have to look this up, but I believe the motion to postpone has a higher precedence. So I just wanted to make that statement.
Okay. All right. Is there a second to Bill's motion to postpone this consideration of this motion on underwriting?
Mansour would second that.
Okay. So this is debatable, but in the interest of time, we'll take one against and one for. Anyone against postponing this? Hearing no one against, anyone for postponing it? Or anyone would anyone like to speak in favor of postponing it? Okay. So what we're going to do then? Go ahead. Who's that?
I would love to answer.
All right. I think Gary, was that you who spoke for?
Yes. Yes, I'm in favor of postponing because I think it should be done in open session. I believe that, and plus we need more time, so I'm busy.
Okay. All right. Good point, Gary. And anyone against? Okay. Is there any objection to postponing consideration of this motion on underwriting to the next the next open session? Is that your intention, Bill?
Yes.
Okay, to the next open session. Is there any objection to that? All right. Hearing no objection, this motion, the consideration of this motion, is postponed.
Parliamentarian for the stat.
Okay, go ahead, John.
I just wanted to confirm, I just looked it up, that yes, the motion to postpone is higher than the motion to refer. I just want to confirm that. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Thank you very much, John. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Next thing is, Donald, were you able to send that motion to the board?
I did attempt to send it to the board as well as to Bill. So hopefully, Bill, you may have found it because it's not showing up in my feed, in my Gmail feed here.
Oh, I have it. Here is the pension committee.
Oh, you do?
Motion. Yes.
Okay.
So it was sent, 7 minutes ago. Very good.
Yep.
Donald, do you have, I can start reading it. Do you have the ability to get Carol Travis on the phone so she can motivate it?
Yeah, but she would need a PIN number to dial in, would she not? Oh, you mean for me to loop her in on my phone?
Yeah, is that possible, or somebody else?
I will try to do that. I will try to do that.
Okay, great. Okay, I'll start reading this. This is a report from the Pension Administrative Committee of July 18th, 2019, prepared by Carol Travis. This is a report filled with very good news and just a few hanging pieces. We have a detailed overview and then we'll propose a resolution at the very end. There are two financial instruments that Pacifica has for savings: a 401A retirement plan under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, better known as ERISA, monitored by the United States Department of Labor, and a 403B account, which is an investment savings account which has no restrictions or penalties for money being taken out before retirement, the 401A does. When these accounts were established, they included mandatory employer co-contributions based on employee annual income. Over time, the plans changed to make the employee contributions discretionary, although some of the union contracts kept the mandatory language. Okay. What that means is that Pacifica had the option to either make the contributions or to not make the contributions. They were not mandatory after a certain point. Starting in 2011, Pacifica not only failed to make mandatory co-pays and in some moments in time improperly used employees' own money as operating funds. In May of 2018, when the United States Department of Labor began an investigation of our 401A under the authority of ERISA regulations, Tom Livingston, a previous interim executive director, began to straighten this all out. We have hired ERISA attorneys from the firm Trucker Huss. NIDA's contract to help with our finances included help with the pension issues. In July 2018, Primark was hired to be the third-party administrator of the 401A and help us track down all the details of our past failures. RENA, the pension auditor, was brought in to help too. There had been no audits since 2014. The audits of the pension plans are now underway. The 2016 403B audit is done. Pacifica failed to pay our auditor since 2017 until after May 2019. We have now paid the auditors, and they are working with Primark to get everything done as soon as possible. If you recall, Primark is our pension plan administrator, a company that helps administrate our pension plans. In December 2018, after learning that the third-party administrator of the 403B was bailing because they could not reach Pacifica after months of emails and phone calls to the Pacifica National Office to get Pacifica to simply sign the customary renewal contract, we hired Primark to be the TPA of the 403B also, the pension plan administrator of the 403B plan also. After the bottleneck in the Pacifica National Office was removed in early April, the work has been getting done at breakneck speed with every one of our pension vendors rolling up their sleeves. This is no easy task. Every payroll had to be scrutinized for years. Calculations of the number of hours worked to calculate what people were due or what they had paid. It was complex, tedious work. It took a couple of months of major attention with the help of all the parties listed above. They became a team. It is largely completed. As the money due the 401A, but for a $15,033.48 from KPFK, all the money owed the 401A will have been paid. The U.S. Department of Labor has indicated that they agree with our calculations, but for a few outstanding tasks they have delineated, they will close their investigation of us. We still don't know if they will charge us penalties for our previous grievous failures, but they have indicated that they are largely satisfied with the major work we undertook to straighten this all out. This is very good news. As to the 403B, all the back money owed included lost earnings calculations including loss earnings calculations, have been made to all the Pacifica 403B accounts. The auditor, RENA, this is the pension plan auditor, audit firm, and the pension plan administrator, Primark, is working on all the outstanding paperwork so that all the audits and the 5500s, which is a required federal filing. I'm almost finished. Is that you, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, Carol. I will, would you like to continue?
Well, I just, I don't know where you were.
Okay, let me continue reading and then
you
can motivate,
right.
Okay? The auditor, the RENA, the pension plan auditor, and the pension plan administrator, Primark, is working on all the outstanding paperwork so that all the audits in the 5500s, which is a required federal filing, will be completed soon. We hope by the end of August. NETA has put in place procedures with all the Pacifica units to prevent this from happening in the future. One outstanding issue remains, which is fairness to KPFA employees. And we have a resolution, but we need to explain it first. And this, we're going over this because it's important that this gets done, if possible, tonight. When KPFA attempted to make pension contributions in a timely fashion, the then Pacifica CFO, Sam Agarwal, informed them that because the other stations had not sent in their pension money, the contribution could not be made, that they all needed to be done at once. At that point, KPFA set up a segregated bank account, and the business manager made deposits to that account based on her estimates of what might be owed for KPFA employees. That account still exists and likely has enough money to cover KPFA contributions that had not been included. The final conclusions of the Department of Labor and our ERISA assessment of what was owed to the accounts was based on ERISA law that the KPFA CWA, which is their union, was not legally in effect, or collective bargaining agreement, I'm sorry, that the KPFA collective bargaining agreement was not legally in effect because a signed CBA extension does not exist. Therefore, those union members were not due a mandatory copay. They were denied the mandatory contributions that they understood were part of their terms of employment for 2017 and 2018. Also, the non-union employees did not receive pension payments for 2012, 2013, 15, 16, 17, or 18 because Sam Agarwal would not accept them initially. They did not receive them in this final official pension reconciliation because they are technically discretionary. But KPFA set aside that money too. KPFA is the only one of the five stations that not only have kept up their central service payments, PRA payments, that's to the archives, timely health care payments, but also had a major bequest taken from them in 2014 to national operating expenses, including every Pacifica pension member, a 2% 2014 pension co-contribution. KPFA is the only unit that currently has money set aside for these pension payments. KPFK also set aside money, but it has been used up as part of the reconciliation. Continuing, all employees at KPFA, union and management, were under the belief that the contract was extended, that dues continued to be paid, grievances grieved per contract, and even a raise was given in 2018. KPFA union is an unusual contract. All the union people get the same amount of money because it costs everybody about the same to raise a family. All the employees relied upon those pension contributions. Trucker Huss, which is our labor law firm, has advised us that discretionary payments...
Our ERISA law firm
has advised us that discretionary payments to the pension fund cannot be made looking backward. Trucker Huss has advised us that payments can be made to one unit without impacting others. Trucker Huss has advised us that no discretionary back payments can be made without the Pacifica National Board agreeing by resolution to make these Pacifica employees whole. The final figures of what amounts of money would do that are a few days away. We recommend the following PNB resolution. Shall I continue reading, or would you like to do so, Carol?
Okay, I'll read it. Whereas KPFA owes no money to the Pacifica National Organization, the National Archives, and in fact, KPFA's reading of the last audit, I didn't say that, but the reading of the intercompany account has Pacifica owing KPFA. Whereas everyone in the KPFA union and management believed that the KPFA union had contract had been extended, whereas KPFA is the only unit that set aside the money enough to pay management contributions, whereas our ERISA attorneys agree this resolution is legal, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB approves a one-time 2019 discretionary payment to the 401A, that is the amount that will make the KPFA employees whole in terms of the 401A. This is not to indicate anything going forward after 2019. It is understood that that will happen only as long as KPFA owes no money to Pacifica at that time. If KPFA owes any money at that time, PNO or can somebody who's coughing mute, or the PRA, this matter will be revisited by the PNB.
Okay, so do you want to explain?
I don't know. I think it might be useful to take a few questions and see where people
This is Robin.
Understand.
We have only 8 minutes before time certain to go to executive session.
Okay. Well, I just think it's fantastic news. There's been tremendous work, and just about everything is done with this pension. And this our pension and our 401A and our 403B is fantastic, and it's also fantastic that the monies exist in the unit that is, I think, only in fairness, due the money that the resolution suggests they're entitled to, as long as KPFA owes no money to the PNO or the PRA at the time of the matter. And if that happens, the matter will be revisited by the PNB. So I think it's a very a bunch of wonderful news and an easy thing to pass for being fair to union workers, which I think is something we stand for.
Alex on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Carol, I want to thank you for all the work you've done on the pension funds. And I just have one question. Do you know approximately how much money is to be dispersed? You can give me a sort of an approximate figure.
I'm not really sure, but KPFA has in that fund at this point $190,000. And these are not huge contributions, but it might be for the union employees $21,000 ballpark for each year, and it might be for the other employees maybe $5,000 a year for 5 years or whatever it is. So it there's enough money in that fund to pay it.
All right, thank you.
With leftovers.
Okay. Any other questions?
Did that answer you?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Carol. Any other questions? Okay, and essentially, as I understand it, Carol, this...
Yes, I'm sorry, I was muted. This is Nancy.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
And Bill from the stack.
Okay, Nancy and then Bill.
Yeah, what about other stations? So as I understand, this is a motion to pay up on discretionary pension funding that was not required, but it was, is that correct?
Yes. Hi, Nancy. It's discretionary, but it had been commonplace and regular until all the pension stuff got mixed up, and it was not accepted when KPFA offered it. And KPFK set aside some money, and unfortunately it fell about $26,000 short of what they owe for the
regular reconciliation. Key did not set aside any money, and nobody else did. And also, nobody else is up, you know, for years on central services, on PRA, on timely health care payments, et cetera, et cetera. So it's yes, but the answer is yes. Sorry.
So my question is, what about other stations? Did they also make promises that are not required that should be included in this? I mean,
They did not set aside money to cover their own pensions, and they are behind on central services, and they are behind on a lot of stations don't do PRA, and so that this resolution has to do with the one station that is up on all the money and all the contributions and has set aside its own money for its own payments. And other stations, except for K, didn't do it, and unfortunately K misestimated the amount. So, no, it doesn't cover anybody else because they didn't take care of covering themselves.
Okay, Bill?
Long as to this fact.
We have only 2 minutes.
It's very confusing.
Okay, hold on a moment. Order. Order. Okay. Order. We have how many minutes, Robin?
We have 3 minutes before going to executive session.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Bill. You have the floor. Quickly.
Thank you. It's more of a question. Is the resolution specific enough? It says that, you know, they'll be setting aside money to make employees whole, but without mentioning any dollar amounts. I realize it's different for each individual, but is this specific enough to be implemented? I mean, I hope it is,
yes.
But I don't know.
Can I answer that, Bill? Carol, quickly. Be okay.
Sure.
They are following the criteria of an expired collective bargaining agreement. Because it's expired, they're not obligated to pay their employees. But the employees understood, rightly or wrongly, that even though it was expired, it continued, and they were following the precepts of that expired union contract. And they set aside money as stated in the expired contract. So the lawyers deemed that they don't have that because the contract is expired. This money does not have to be put into the pension fund for the KPFA employees. However, it was set aside, and this motion we would just be allowing KPFA to put the money that they've already set aside to follow the precepts of their expired collective bargaining unit, collective bargaining agreement, and to place the money in the pension funds as though the contract had not expired. It's just that in order to have that the pension. Go ahead, Carol.
I just want to make one correction. Everything that you said is accurate, except it also, because it also attempted to set aside the money for the pension for the management people. There are management people in the news department and so on who was depending on their money, who have helped make KPFA the functioning, fabulously functioning station that it is. And those are discretionary funds. They have been, it says in the language of the agreement, they're discretionary, but they had been paid all the time until everything went crazy and, you know, the pension fund stopped being paid attention to. And KPFA sent aside money for those people also. So it's for the union people and the okay.
Chair. Can I be recognized?
Lawrence, I hate to say this, but we're out of time for this agenda item.
Move to extend, Nancy, for 5 minutes.
Can we extend? Okay, for 5 minutes. Is there a second?
A second, Lawrence.
Okay, good. Any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Okay. Hearing none, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you.
Ralph here. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm asking about KPFK because I know that the employees were in arbitration with the union and management. And so how much is in the pension fund for KPFK since you disclosed how much was in the pension fund for KPFA? And is KPFK about to make that payment to make themselves possibly whole in regards to the pension plan?
Okay,
May I answer?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The money that I discussed putting into the pension plan is not in the pension plan. It's in a segregated KPFA account that was set aside because the money was not accepted by the national office to put into the pension plan, improperly understanding that the national office, the CFO, believed that you had to have everybody's pension plan money to put anybody's pension money in. And that turns out to be legally incorrect. But so when that pension money was asked for, I believe, in 2017, the money was turned down. And so the business manager at KPFA put aside a KPFA account for KPFA pension contributions. And she did it in a way that was comprehensive, understanding what historically had been true with pension co-payments, even though the language of the agreement had changed from mandatory to discretionary. But she put it away because people at KPFA all get the same amount of money, so people are low paid for some things, and they rely upon that they're going to get a pension in the end. In terms of KPFK, KPFK put aside some money to do this also because they experienced some of this too. Unfortunately, they did not put enough money away to cover to cover what was necessary for the reconciliation for the Department of Labor, given the legal pension law issues that revolved around the pension issues. I have no knowledge of what the KPFK, negotiations were, and if there is money in KPFK. We're trying to. I knew that KPFK has had difficulty in paying some of the various things. I was able to get the information on KPFA. If KPFK has issues with the contract and has the money and has, pays the central services and the PRA and has got their health care paid, then there you would be in a similar situation. And you could make another, you would certainly be able, and I would help you, to make another resolution to put before the board at the next meeting. I'm happy to research it with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you, Lawrence. We're out of time for this item. Essentially, there's some noise in the background. Please mute yourself. Essentially,
it's just me, Ralph, checking in.
Okay.
Dwayne Lark on the call.
Welcome. Okay, very good. So now we're going to take a vote on this resolution. Thank you for letting us know you're here. We're going to take a vote on this resolution. This is what I'll explain it again. This is what it is. This is a decision that KPFA has made to put monies that they're not obligated to put, that they already set aside, to add to the pensions of their employees. This has nothing to do with any of the other stations. It's just that the pension plan demands, in order to receive the money, it demands a resolution from the national board. Otherwise, this is entirely at the discretion of KPFA. They have the money set aside. It has no impact on any of the other stations. It's KPFA's money that they segregated in a special account for this purpose. And the only thing that we need to do is allow them to do it. It has no impact financially or otherwise on the national office or the other stations. So now, Bill, can you
I would like to add one,
before we
sentence? It makes the pension plan stronger for everybody because this is a pension plan that all the money is in one thing. It's not by account for the people. And so it makes the pension plan stronger and more viable financially.
Thank you, Carol. Is there any objection to approving this resolution? Hearing no objection, this resolution is adopted. Okay. Is there anything else we need to do before adjourning this meeting?
Oh, sorry, Nancy. I'm sorry I was muted. I have to object because I can't verify all the whereases.
Okay.
There's so many whereases.
All right.
I'm not sure all of them are correct or verified, or they're very nonspecific. I would like to abstain.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So, why don't we take a vote, Bill?
Okay. Gary Bost.
Gary votes for.
Okay. Gary votes yes. Robin Collier.
Yes.
Robin votes yes. Chris Corey.
Yes.
Chris votes yes. Bill Crozier votes yes. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Donald votes yes. Jan Goodman is absent. Sabrina Jacobs.
No, Jan Goodman is here. Jan Goodman is here. And
oh,
yes.
You're here.
Surprise.
We're just here. Okay, are you here? Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
Okay, Sabrina votes yes. Wally James.
Yes.
Wally votes yes. Dwayne Lark, and I have you marked present. Oh.
Abstain.
Dwayne?
Abstain.
Dwayne abstains. Adrienne LaViolette?
Yes.
Adrienne votes yes. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Ron votes yes. Ralph Pointer? And I have you marked here, too.
Abstain. Abstain.
Okay. Abstain. Abstain. Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean votes yes. Aline Rosen?
Yes.
Aline votes yes. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Mansoor votes yes. James Segerton?
Yes.
James votes yes. Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Nancy abstains. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Alex votes yes. Tom Voorhees is absent. My count. We have 16 yes. 3 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair votes yes.
At least 17 yes. All right. And 3 abstentions and 0 no's.
All right.
Thank you and goodbye.
thank you, Carol. All right. Okay. This motion, this resolution is adopted. So now I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting, and then we'll go have a 5-minute break and then call back in. We need to hang up and call back in for the executive session. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn, Robin.
Okay, I hear we have a motion and seconds. Is there any objection to adjourning this open session? Hearing none, we are adjourned. See you in 5 minutes.